You're listening to the Candidly with Coffee podcast, the show that gives you straightforward and candid advice on all things nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle with your host, Janine Escobar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
What's up?
What's up?
I'm thrown off. It's Monday today.
Monday afternoon. Like Monday random.
Afternoon.
So random, but I was thrown off yesterday. So that's why we didn't record. I don't know. I just wanted to be a bum.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, sometimes it's okay to just be a bum. We went wine tasting on Friday, went to Paso Robles.
We did a lot of wine tasting, man.
Yeah. And so I was thrown off. I felt like all day Friday, I felt like it was Saturday.
Yeah.
So it kind of threw me all off. It was nice.
Because we came home Saturday and it was kind of an ugly day. It felt like a Sunday. It was weird.
Yeah, it did feel like a Sunday. It was so weird, but we had so much fun on Friday.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah, fun. It was your first time wine tasting.
I was a virgin until the other day. Finally popped my wine tasting cherry.
Oh my gosh, yeah. By the second winery, you guys. Took a little siesta during the tasting.
You got me relaxed.
The second one, I mean, he was lights out, like full blown nap mode.
Like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
No. It was longer than that.
You're tripping.
I'm not tripping. You were sleeping. How would you know?
And then I bounced back.
You did. The girls were a little bit afraid that like you were going to be like done for the day. I'm like, oh no, he's just recharging his batteries.
I'm just recharging my batteries.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
It was funny, though. It was pretty funny. So that was your first time wine tasting. What'd you think?
It was cool. I enjoyed them. I'm learning about them. Not to drink a big chug, swish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I was a little nervous with your swishing skills, though, because I was wearing light-colored pants, and you were a little aggressive with the swish.
I was trying to get the right swish going.
You were a little aggressive with the swish. But it was fun, man. We started early. Like, we started drinking wine at, like, 10. Well, we started with champagne, like, at 9:30 in the morning.
I know. That's super early after
so
a coffee.
Yeah, so we started drinking at 9:30. I actually made it so that was my cheat day, though. So I was prepared. So that I changed my cheat day from Saturday to Friday because I wanted to just enjoy it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't want to think about it. I just wanted
Did
to
enjoy
it. Did you
enjoy
the
wines?
Yeah, I loved it. I like reds. I enjoyed the reds and the cabs. I prefer a cab. But I literally drank and ate all day long. So it was an epic cheat day. Not necessarily.
Hey, what did
like,
you eat? You only had a salad at lunch and then.
Okay, so I had a salad. I kept it kind of light because I knew it was going to be a long day ahead of me of eating. Then I had the charcuterie, blah, 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 I can never say that. The charcuterie board. At that first winery still. This is like 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I had salami and cheese and nuts. So that was that. Not too bad. But then wine, of course. So those calories add up. So the calories are starting to accumulate. Then at the second winery, when you fell asleep, I started to get a little tipsy. So I, of course, had my big Louis Vuitton bag with me packed with snacks. I was like prepared with snacks. So because at that winery, our reservation was only for, it was only for tasting, not for food.
Yeah.
So I ate my popcorners and I had a Built Bar because I was starting to feel a little tipsy and the craving, you know, the munchies kicked in. So then that kind of like held me over. And then we went to a third winery and there we had bread. They brought out sourdough bread.
Well, they did.
They brought out a loaf of sourdough. So more wine and then bread. And then I went in at that restaurant. Fish Gaucho. You guys, if you are anywhere in like California and you ever make your way to Paso Robles, Fish Gaucho is excellent.
It was good. Chips,
excellent Mexican fusion style restaurant. Yep. Excellent cocktail. So after we had been drinking all day long.
All day long.
We proceed to switch to tequila.
You know how to go back to my favorites. Yep.
I had a delicious strawberry basil margarita and then I had a jalapeno margarita. So I had that. We had chips and guac and we had two servings of chips with the salsa trio plus the guac. They brought it out twice.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. And then I had a halibut tacos. I had a bite of your taco. And then did you notice that I ate an entire piece of cake? When do I eat cake?
That's right.
I never even eat cake.
I was even like, dang, this cake must be good.
And then I had a few bites. Because I ate mine, and then I started eating yours. Yeah, but I was drunk.
Oh, that's what it was.
See, this is what happens.
The gates are wide open, huh?
Yes, this is why.
We don't do that very often.
People say like, they associate like, you gain weight if you drink alcohol. Well, no, you don't. Not if you track it. If you track alcohol, you can absolutely incorporate alcohol into your routine and lose weight. It is because your inhibitions get lowered and suddenly everything is a great idea. And
the discipline level is very low. At that point, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a fitness fanatic. I don't care if you're a top level competitive man. When you drink, and those food demons, and those food demons hit you, and you're in a restaurant like that place.
Yeah.
I mean.
But you know what? It was one of those times. So that was it. That's what I ate. So I ended with a piece of cake. So I'm glad I got my little sweet in, because otherwise I hadn't had any other sweets. And then.
I didn't even eat all my tacos. I had only had one. I was so full. Remember from all the chips and other stuff? I think we had appetizer. You ordered. I was just full.
I also had ahi appetizer too there. So I ate. See, that's the difference between me and you. And that's what people don't believe. They don't believe how much I can eat.
No.
Like you had a to-go box all cute. You ate one of your tacos and took two tacos to go.
Yeah,
I ate my entire plate, the entire appetizer, my entire basket of chips, my piece of cake, some of your cake.
Man.
And I was still already trying to claim some of your tacos.
You were.
I was like, I want some of that when I get hungry again. You got all mad at me.
You fell asleep.
Well, no, but you know what? The smart decision that I did make is when we went back to our room, we hung out with our friends at the room, at the hotel room, and we smoked. Or I didn't smoke. You smoked. You brought a blunt or what? You smoked?
Yeah, I brought a pre-roll.
Yeah, you brought a pre-roll.
I made it myself.
That is where I got smart. I did not smoke because I already knew I was full. My stomach was full, but had I smoked, I would have, we went back to the room, you left and went to the front desk and stocked up on Twix and snacks and all that stuff.
Yeah,
if I had smoked, I would have been right there with you, but I didn't. So that's it.
And I ate the tacos still with chips.
After I fell asleep, huh?
Yeah, I was hungry. See?
I fell asleep. But you're good. You still didn't eat twice as me for the day. And I'm supposed to eat half as much as you.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's one of those times, and I talk about this with you guys a lot. Talk about it with my clients. Worth it. Like, was it worth it? On Saturday when I wake up and I'm thinking to myself, man, I kind of went in a little bit more than I should have, but was it worth it? 100,000,000% worth it. Worth it. Delicious. Enjoyed the day. I didn't have a hangover because I did drink a lot of water. I was really conscious about drinking water so that I didn't want to get hungover. But it was worth it. I enjoyed it. Right back on track Saturday. And it was a little funky for me to be back on track on a Saturday because I usually do not switch my cheat day around. And like I had discussed in last week's episode, I was very honest and told you guys, if I did not have a photo shoot this week, I would have continued and enjoyed Saturday too, because that's what I like to do when I'm traveling. But because I had the photo shoot, I had to reel it back in and get right back on track, right back to macros. And I feel good. Like I don't, even though I went a little overboard, I didn't fully soak up my entire deficit that I had created for the week. And that's why I try to like explain to people, like, don't freak out. Like, if you have a day where you go overboard, at the very least, maybe you're going to put a pin in your progress that week. You're not going to necessarily progress, but you're not going to like undo months of hard work weekend bender.
Sometimes you do good to your body. It'll go right through you sometimes. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to just like fill it up
sometimes
with everything.
It does do that. Like,
and
it's
then it
like
pushes things out.
It's kind of like it creates like this whoosh effect. Well, sometimes I'll tell you what does happen.
And then you get leaner and then you're like, what the heck?
Well, you know why?
I've been through that.
You know what that is? Because the carbs speed up your metabolism. Like your body sometimes will start to, your metabolism will kind of start to power down in the absence of carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's very important, and I tell this to my clients, have the refeed day. Have the weekly cheat day. That is going to keep your metabolism healthy. If you deplete for too long, especially like carbohydrates, it will, your metabolism is going to adapt. And that is why a lot of times people will say after a cheat meal, they actually have a flush on the scale. It happens all the time with competitors. So like competitors in the like bikini competitor space, they will deplete prior to a show. And then their coaches will fill them up with carbohydrates when it's time to compete so that their muscle bellies get nice and full and it shows, they show well on stage. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when they're filling up with carbs, I mean, I'm talking a lot of carbs, like 200 grams of carbs, 200, 300 grams of carbs.
That's a lot for a woman. You'd think
that they would suddenly gain a bunch of weight because technically carbohydrates, you're going to hold water and that's why you're carbing up so that you could hold water in your muscles.
Yep.
You'll drop weight on the scale. I see it time and time again with competitors. They're like, coach, like I'm eating all these carbs and they're like going right through me. I dropped another pound on the scale. Like
it happened. Did it happen to Alyssa? Sped up her metabolism kind
of? She didn't weigh, so we don't know, but she did have to continue to carb up. Like it wasn't filling her up.
Dang, that's,
that means you her know? Metabolism. Your metabolism gets revved up. It really it's like does. Supercharged. It loves the carbs. It goes, oh yeah, she's feeding me. We're good. We have all of these, this energy coming in, this glycogen.
They gets happy, your body. Because
it recognizes carbohydrates immediately gets recognized as energy that can be used immediately. That's the difference between carbs and fats.
Yeah.
Fats is not as much, it has to be like caressed. You know, the process of turning fats into energy and ketones to be used as energy has a little bit of caressing that takes place. It's a slower process.
Oh, yeah.
You know, carbohydrates can be converted immediately. That's why low intensity cardio is good for fat burning, because you don't need to convert the fat so rapidly. And that's why higher intensity workouts like HIIT and Bad resistance class. Training and things like that, like that's what like I HIIT, do. Yep. will want carbohydrates because it's fast acting.
But it's okay if I do it faster though, right? Training.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's what's your net effect for the day? Are you It doesn't really matter if you're in a deficit or not. You're not fasted. I mean, you're fasted, but you have glycogen from yesterday.
Yeah. But you
this
know,
this morning you still had glycogen in there from yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm good then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're good.
When I was on keto, it kind of like sometimes I'd hit a wall and be spazzing like. Ugh.
And you know why you hit the wall?
I was like, oh shit.
You hit the wall and then because for a workout like that that requires that. That glycogen energy, that quick energy, mm-hmm. you don't have it because your glycogen storage gets emptied quickly because you're not eating carbohydrates. So that is why if you're on keto, if you've noticed, people that are on keto, they'll do like at the gym, they'll do like MCT oil or coconut oil, something like that, mm-hmm. because that's the most rapid conversion into ketones. Because it bypasses the digestive system and it just converts almost instantly to ketones. Which means it can be used for energy more rapidly than, say, stored body fat.
Oh, gotcha.
So stored body fat is going to take a little more work.
Yep.
And that's why your body will use stored body fat for sure. It's going to use stored body fat as long as you're in a deficit, it needs to. But that's not the first thing your body's going to go to.
But I've experimented in the past. You told me like when I was super lean and I'm like, eat a donut before class. See if you feel the difference. Oh, yeah, you feel the sugar.
Yeah, it's rapid.
I can go forever.
It's a rapid.
I can get like it's like it gives me a.
But for some people, it'll tank you too.
Not me. I'm not gonna pound a fucking dozen. Yeah, I'm saying one.
The reason
it's one tanks, and get to
but
work.
If you're not is if you're not insulin resistant, it's not so bad. Because if you're insulin resistant, your body even with a little bit of sugar releases a lot of insulin into your bloodstream. So if it releases a lot of insulin. It's going to take all that blood sugar really rapidly out of your bloodstream, and that's going to crash your energy. Mm. But if you're not insulin resistant, then your body's only going to, you're going to eat the donut. It's going to release a little bit of insulin. It's going to pull some sugar in, you know, out of your bloodstream, but it's not going to crash you. And you're going to, that sugar that it pulls out, it's going to push it into your cells and it's going to be available for immediate use, immediate energy. It's a fast digesting, like carbohydrate, basically sugar. So like that's why a lot of times people will
pretty
have,
much it hits your stomach and it's boom, off and running.
Yeah,
the minute it hits your mouth, actually, it's off and running.
That's why kids bounce off the walls.
Yeah
They eat sugar,
they
right?
go crazy.
They go crazy. It's like a sugar high
and then they crash. It's funny, huh? They'll be all over the place screaming, running around, and all of a sudden boom, they fall flat and they're out. They're nap times.
Yeah,
I wonder, do kids get nap times in school anymore? Like I briefly remember getting nap times. I remember. I don't know where. I briefly.
Maybe in preschool, not in like actual school.
No, not school. I don't remember. I was super young, but I was like, it was trippy. I don't know where I was. I can briefly remember that. I don't know if I was in preschool or where, but it was like, there's a siesta time back then.
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah, but anyways, so the trip was good. The weekend was good, but right back on track. And I feel good. Like, I don't feel like, oh man, like I did some damage or anything like that. I don't at all. Really, the damage starts to come into play when you start stringing multiple bad days together. It's called, basically you spill over. That's mm-hmm. literally what's happening. Your glycogen tank only has so much room in there. So if you fill it up one day and then you continue to fill it up the next day, even though it's still full from the day before, what happens? It overflows. And when it overflows, it stores as fat.
It's the same.
It doesn't matter what it is, whether it is a carb, a fat, or protein. When you overfloweth, you are storing fat. That is what you're doing.
People don't believe that, though. That's why people in keto got, a lot of people gained weight.
Fat,
I was almost one of them.
Fat is one of the easiest.
I was eating too much, remember?
Fat is the easiest macronutrient to store as fat. It's fat is the easiest, then carbs. People will think that it's carbs, but it's not. It is a facade because they think they're storing fat because the scale moves up.
No, it's water.
The scale moves up because of water.
Yeah.
Fat is the easiest micronutrient to store as fat, then carbs, and then protein is the last. Protein is the least likely to be stored as fat. Your body doesn't easily store protein as fat. And that's why the carnivore diet people, they're very successful.
Oh, yeah.
For one, it's very a lot creates a lot of satiety because protein is very filling. There is a very high thermic effect of food for protein, which means that your body takes a lot of energy in order to digest protein, especially things like red meat and things like that. So that's going to increase your caloric deficit just by taking more energy to digest it. And so those two things are going to control the volume in and of itself. However, on the third note, it's your body doesn't like storing protein as fat. It only does if it absolutely has to in extreme excess. So a lot of people do well on that kind of diet. I just feel like it's more, anytime that something is super restrictive like that.
It's hard.
It's hard to sustain.
It's hard. Yeah.
And so you have to be.
You're going
to
cave. I don't care who you are. I don't care how disciplined. You're carnivore or not. You can do it for a year or two. Listen, the way I did keto, I lasted, a couple of years? I did it.
Well, ultimately you missed carbs. You did. You always missed carbs.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's hard, man. I was wired eating, growing up eating carbs and not enjoying them.
Yeah. I just feel like I just want to live a life where nothing's off limits.
Yeah.
I feel like it's healthier mentally for the relationship with food if you don't put anything off limits.
Mm-hmm.
Allow everything. Yeah. And a lot of times people...
Explain that when you say allow everything. So people don't she said allow everything. No, she don't really literally mean that.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast, then you should be well aware of my philosophies on that. Everything in moderation.
Yep.
And if you know approximately how much you should be eating for your goals, then that's kind of how you gauge, how much of a treat you should be having. What I love to, and what I think is a great way to kind of like control treats is when you're having a treat, make sure it's not endless. Don't allow your access to a treat be extremely available, because the thing that comes along with treats is, yes, they do have a different chemical response in your body. And it's a lot easy to overeat something that has those chemical responses, especially sweets. Really good way to
dangerous.
Control it is
sweets
like,
and chips for me.
Like Trader Joe's has a lot of these options. They have a lot of treats that are like mini.
Yeah.
So I know you guys have talked about it before, like my mini cones. I love my mini cones, but they have some other things that I recently bought too. The brownie coffee ice cream sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It is like maybe a 2.5 by 2.5 inch square. Pretty thick, but it's 140 calories. It's like 18 carbs, 140 calories. It has some sugar in it. But again, the issue is not necessarily sugar. The issue is what sugar does to you and leads you to consume more sugar. If you can control your volume by limiting your access, then it's not as risky. You know what I'm saying?
Have one and one only.
Yeah. So I had one on Saturday. Look, listen, I'm not going to lie. Saturday was a little hard. You didn't go back on track. I'm going to bust you out.
Nope.
You did not go back on track.
Nor did
so guys,
I was gonna.
Think, no, I know, but I'm just saying you didn't go back on track. So imagine how even that much harder it is for me when you're not on track and I don't want to be on track. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wanted to enjoy it. I'm like, man, I can just be on the couch right now enjoying.
Oh, well, you got goals.
But I did allow myself to have that ice cream sandwich. It was really good. And that those kind of things. I also picked up from Trader Joe's, like these mint cookie sandwiches that are good. I thought that was good. Those were like 120 calories. The mini cones are only 70 calories.
Those are good.
It's so easy to fit it into your, like if you have balanced macros where you have, you're not keto, because problem is with keto, you got to stick to the keto treats, which there's plenty of those too. There's plenty of those. I'm just not super familiar with them right now just because I'm not on keto, but there's plenty of those too. So even if you're on keto macros, then just, you know, allow yourself those treats that you enjoy. Just make sure that you can limit them and limit your access to them. Like for me, it's always dangerous to go get a dozen donuts.
That is dangerous, especially so from dangerous. Like stands.
Yeah.
We could tear those easily.
Yeah. Because they're so doughy. Get stands this weekend, though.
They're so doughy and soft and sugary. Oh my God, those are dangerous.
This weekend, I'm going to have a good cheat day, a full, like, untracked cheat day, just because it is I have a photo shoot on Saturday that I've been cutting for, which, by the way, update on my cut. So it was 4 weeks. It has been exactly 4 weeks since I cut. If you guys, let me recap. I had gained 4 pounds from my 6 trips that I enjoyed very much. So I needed to lose 4 pounds. And then I also just wanted to continue to cut up until that photo shoot, just because I wanted to kind of like tighten things up. I've definitely tightened things up. I haven't actually weighed myself since I lost the 4 pounds after 3 weeks. So I didn't weigh myself when it hit the 4th week. I would have weighed myself, but I started my period, so I stay off the scale during that time. I felt like there was a 5-pound brick in my stomach. I'm like, I'm not gonna weigh myself, but I feel good. Like, I feel lean. I've definitely, so it works. I'm happy with where I'm at. My cut was successful. I'll have the celebratory cheat day because I've been craving pizza and Stan. So I'll have that on Saturday after the photo shoot. And then
I'm going to try that new place out, right?
Yeah, Coliseum Pizza. It's like New York style.
Well, give it a shot.
But then after that, I will do one more week of cutting just to kind of like undo some of that, because that's going to be a little bit of like an epic day. So I'm going to do one more week of cutting, then I'm going to go back into my reverse diet. Slow reverse. But I want to get my macros back up again. And yeah, I just feel good.
Sounds like a plan, Stan. Yeah.
So it just goes to show you that macros works, guys. You just got to follow it. It works. It works like a charm. It's like, boom. Like, it took me 6 weeks to put on the 4 pounds. It should have technically taken me 6 weeks to take it off, but it actually didn't. My body was very responsive. It took me 3 weeks to get the 4 pounds off. And I attribute that to I had reverse dieted prior to doing that, and so my body was just very responsive. So it's important to do that reverse diet when you are done, when you feel good. Reverse diet, get yourself, your body back up, back used to like higher macros, but stay on course. When you resist the urge, when you hit your goals, to think it's over
and just go crazy on the way up,
it's never over. That's, if you don't embrace that, if you do not embrace the fact that this is a permanent thing, it has to be important enough to you to be a part of your life forever. If you don't embrace that, you're never going to be able to sustain it. Never, ever, ever. You are going to yo-yo diet forever. And you're going to be kicking yourself when you find yourself back in the same position again, having to lose the same amount of weight or more. Do it. Because if you don't do that, if you don't give up and you accept that this is permanent, you can live an amazing, balanced, enjoyable life. Look, I had an enjoyable day at wine tasting. I didn't give 2 shits about how many calories I ate that day. I have no idea what drank. I did. I'm going to enjoy this weekend too, on Saturday, one day. But I'm gonna thoroughly enjoy it,
right?
You know, and guilt-free. And I'm still going to look and feel my best. And that's the goal. The goal is to look and feel your best, still have balance, still enjoy the things you love. That is what I try to hammer home.
That's all you can do. But I can't wait to have that Saturday cheat meal, not gonna lie. Stan's donuts.
On the pizza.
And that pizza. I'm kind of craving pizza.
So do not forget to remind me that I have to. We have to pre-order the Stan's donuts.
You better put a note in your phone. Thursday morning.
Well, you're supposed to remind me.
What time do you have to call them by?
Just Thursday morning. I don't know, but.
Oh. Because they only do like so many.
I know. Maybe I'll even call Wednesday. Oh no, I'm scared. So I'm gonna get those donuts. And then so we've been driving by this place, by our house. We've lived here for 5 years already. And I've seen this place that I just finally decided to Yelp it and think like, I wonder if the pizza's good there. It's a New York style pizza. And it had really good Yelp reviews, like a lot of Yelp reviews, like 4.5 stars. And I want to try everything because I just want to see what's good there. So I want to get a stromboli, a calzone. Like, I'm not going to stuff myself like binge eat, but I want to try a little bit of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to try their New York style pizza. I want to try the calzone. I want to try the stromboli. Stromboli is going to be tough. That's going to be tough to compare because we have a stromboli place that we love.
I almost feel like going to buy one there.
And do a
and have that
side
one there.
By side.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for the donuts because I haven't had donuts in a while.
I know. Especially Stan's. Those are good.
I haven't had donuts during my cut. I gave up the donuts during my cut. It just goes to show you that just because you have something every day and you love it and it's the best thing, or not every day, but every week,
yeah,
doesn't mean you can't tell yourself no. Not going to have it for this many weeks because of this or that. It's just we have control over ultimately. No, it doesn't matter. Urges, cravings, willpower, discipline, whatever. At the end of the day, we have control over what we put into our mouth.
That's it.
Ties you down.
It's a choice.
And shoves food into your
exactly.
mouth.
Don't blame McDonald's. Don't blame the TV.
Don't blame your
this.
Husband. Don't blame the person that's eating around you. Like, I didn't. That would be bullshit. If, like, I got mad at you on Saturday. You don't have a freaking photo shoot. Like, you wanted to enjoy the rest of the weekend. We had traveled that morning. You wanted to enjoy a little more splurge.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not my right to get mad at you for that. You know what I mean?
That's funny, but people do.
People do.
Same thing. Like, listen.
And that shouldn't change whether or not, it shouldn't change whether I'm going to have it or not. That's all part of it. You have to learn how to set boundaries for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hard no. You know?
Yeah. You don't think sometimes, you know, I smoke weed every day. I'm used to it, but sometimes the munchies come over me and I'm like craving like fast food, like everything in the sun, but I don't act upon it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't smoke.
I don't act upon it.
I do smoke at night sometimes. I actually smoked a little last night because Diesel had us up at 2 o'clock in the morning. One of the dogs woke us up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like
yeah.
Crying, needed to go out to the bathroom or whatever. And yeah. If I wake up like that, like abruptly,
I know.
And it's like, sucks. The middle of the night, I will have the worst insomnia. So it did put me back to sleep. When I smoke, though, when I'm really tired, it does not make me have the munchies. But if I would have smoked on Friday night.
With us? With Vicky and I?
Yeah.
Got her lit.
Yeah, it would have been all bad.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
I was already like tipsy. That was enough. I drank water. I think I had another snack in my purse. I had that, Smart Sweets. Had Smart Sweets and called it a night. But it was, like I said, it was 1,000% worth it.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was an adventure.
But remember that. It's not only it's so easy to want to blame things for weight gain. Like,
I know, right?
Always remember that usually it's not a direct effect. There are very few things that are a direct effect. You know, like people will say like, oh, sugar makes me gain weight. What? Why does sugar? It's not directly making you gain weight because studies show. Look for studies. Look up the data, real scientific data. Studies show that if you have two focus groups, one eats more sugar than the other, but they're both eat the same amount. They're both in the same caloric intake, or they're the same deficit. They will both groups. Will gain or lose the same amount of weight. Whether they had sugar or not sugar doesn't impact it. In the absence of a surplus, you will not gain weight.
Mm, wow.
Even if one group has more sugar than the other group.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
There has been one of the studies I was reading about, because I had a conversation with Lisa about it, and she's like, well, but doesn't sugar make you gain weight? I'm like, no. Sugar makes you overeat. Sugar makes you eat more sugar. Mm-hmm. Sugar has that chemical response that makes you overeat it.
Yep.
Therefore, you have a surplus. Therefore, it indirectly causes you to gain weight. But if you have two controlled groups and you are both eating a surplus or a deficit, say you're both eating a deficit, one group has more sugar, the weight loss is, and the deficit is the same, the weight loss will be the same.
Interesting. It's good to know. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
They always blame sugar.
And the specific study I was looking at had like 2,000 participants. It was a good amount of people, and there was nobody stood to gain from the study.
That's the main thing I look at.
Be very careful when you're looking at studies.
University studies, like what university?
No, but universities are the ones who do a lot of the studies.
I know they do.
But you have to look at who's funding the study.
Exactly.
Okay, so if an anti-sugar company is funding the study, then they're going to skew it in their favor.
They've done that.
Oh, well, it happens all the time. Or the study will be like, pay attention to how many people are in it. So if they want to skew the results, maybe they're going to have like 10 people. You know, mm-hmm. A study of 10 people tells you nothing.
Nothing. It's a joke.
That's like a sixth grade science experiment. Okay. you want a good amount of people in the study.
Yeah.
To really get some good quality data out of it.
Exactly. Then it's worthless. So what the hell are you 10 people? That's nothing.
And try to refrain. Like, look, if you're not interested in studies and you just, you know, I guess rely on people like me or whatever to give you this information, that's fine too. But just refrain from getting caught in the, believing a headline. Like, don't think that you read a study if you just read a headline. You didn't read the study.
No shit.
If something says studies show
that
CLA prevents fat storage, that's what it'll say. And people will be like, oh my God, I read a study. CLA. No, you didn't read the study.
No,
you didn't. You read the tagline.
Yeah.
You read the.
That's how they get you, man.
Subject.
Yes.
You did not read the study.
No.
Read the study. Studies show that in lab mice, there were some benefits to preventing fat storage. However, when then tested on humans, there was minimal, if any, change or effect on humans' fat storage. So you read the title, and now you're going to go spend a bunch of money on CLA thinking it's going to prevent fat storage when, unless you're a lab mice, it's not. So see what I'm saying? So be cautious of that. Don't get stuck in that.
I got a dumb question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people have asked this question too, but they perform studies on mice, yeah? Mm-hmm. A lot of times. Are we in the same family as mice or some human and mice? Or they just
No, but that's like the first. So that's usually
it gives them like a base foundation.
It's the first step. Okay, well, in mice it does this. So now let's go to like rats, then let's go to like other animals.
Uh-huh.
And then humans, and then it starts to advance.
Starts going to monkeys and chimps.
And then there's human, you know, human trials. Then it becomes clinical trials. That's what it's getting far advanced in the process. So a clinical trial is through a hospital, and you have to like meet all this criteria.
That's crazy because that vaccine sure went from A to Z in a heartbeat, though.
Yeah, but you know why that they're saying people think that, but it's not because they've actually been.
Preparing for
working on this vaccine for a really long time.
Have they?
Mm-hmm.
They known about
really
SARS.
Long time. Exactly. And so it's a variant of SARS. This
is a COVID-19 off of SARS, yeah.
So it was part of that. So people do think that it was very rapid, but not necessarily.
Can you only imagine studies.
What else is out there that we don't know about that's super scary that they're already working on trying to like...
I'm sure they know.
You know.
We know about Ebola. That's the scariest one on planet Earth.
Yeah, what was the name of that documentary that we watched?
Damn, I don't know. It was on Netflix.
It was good.
Yeah.
Containment.
Containment? Is that what it's called?
I think it was Containment.
But listen, if Ebola had the infection rate or whatever of COVID-19 or transmission rate, oh, we'd be in trouble.
Let me tell you.
I would be worried. I'm not going to lie. I'm not scared of COVID one bit at all. Not once. But I'm telling you right now.
I would have not left the house.
Yeah, no.
100,000%.
For some of you guys that don't know what Ebola is, I'm like, what the hell is Ebola? Look it up. It's like there's no cure for it. If you catch it, you're pretty much fucked. It's what, 90% death rate?
Yeah, and it like you bleed out of every orifice. You bleed. You're,
it's disgusting.
Your eyeballs, your nose, your ears, your mouth, your everything.
You're just bleeding. You're internally bleeding outwardly. It's weird.
Yeah. That was good. That's actually a really good documentary. Those doctors in Nigeria, was it Nigeria? They saved the world.
Yeah, somebody was passing through, somebody important, and he felt sick, got to the hospital. And unfortunately, they were able to catch it there, but he infected.
But they said because of the way they handled it, mm-hmm. they contained. I think it is called containment.
Yeah, because so many people, Nigeria is like a hub airport, so millions of passengers are going through there. This could have spread through the world because Nigeria is a hub to go to Europe.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And a lot of Nigeria.
It's not a documentary. It's a movie based on a true story.
Yeah, based.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, you guys. So when you read, like, don't tell me I read a study unless you actually read the study. Read how many people, who funded the study. Like, you know, have there been other studies? You know, really, if you're going to read studies, make sure that you're not just getting, most people just get looped into the headline.
Unfortunately, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Let's just keep it real. People aren't going to go read the studies. But if they want to, go read them.
No, but yeah, that's why instead they'll listen to a podcast like this.
You do that too.
I'll read the study. I always get curious of certain things, you know, and as I've started to, like.
You don't like to guess because
I just really have started to. I make sure that I read through things. I don't just take things at face value. Damn. I really read through things. Like, what does this matter? Like, what, why, you know, I don't just think like, okay, eat whole foods. Just like people used to say, like, diet and exercise. That's just taking.
That's a generic doctor saying, will tell you.
Face value, diet and exercise. Well, guess what? You can eat healthy and still be overweight and unhealthy because you're over consuming.
Yep.
So it's just very generic. Like, go a little deeper than that. What does that actually mean? Diet and exercise. Why diet and exercise? Do I need to lose weight? Is that why? Because that's one thing. If I need to lose weight because it's impacting my heart or whatever, then I need to make sure I'm in a caloric deficit. I need to reduce the volume of my food, whatever. If I'm diabetic, I need to be on a specific diet because doctors won't even do that. They won't even be like, well, you specifically, you should be doing this and this and that. They don't do that. They don't know. They don't even study nutrition.
Nope.
They don't.
That's why they have to refer you to a dietitian a lot of times because they don't.
But even then, like the dietitian,
they should know,
like,
man.
Some old lady from, like, you know, she went to school in like 1972. Okay. Have you, like,
up to date on
gotten
stuff?
Gotten up to date.
Science, like, changed. Nutritional science has changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
It's important. I just stop taking. It's important for me. I don't like to take things at face value. I like to look a little deeper. What is this really trying to tell me? Or does this really impact weight or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So exactly. Like, because people just say, oh, like, oh, sugar's bad. Sugar's bad for you. So avoid all sugar and then you're good. So then they start eating things with no sugar or whatever. But is it really bad? You know, like, why is it bad? Like, maybe it's not bad for everybody. Maybe it's only bad in excess. Is it horrible? Like, you just start to think a little bit about things. Don't just take everything at surface value. Anything in excess is bad for you. Mm-hmm. Even things that are good for you.
True.
Right? Even water, which has nothing in it, has no calories, whatever. You can
drown from it.
You can die.
You could.
By over
people don't know that
water.
First time I heard that was a joke. Yep.
You will literally dehydrate your body.
That's crazy.
Because you produce too much urine, it goes through your body rapidly. It does not hydrate your organs if you drink too much, if you overconsume it, and you just die. Good mm-hmm. die. They've had, like, you know, how to remember that? Remember the show?
Same thing when you overly dehydrate, when they find you, like weeks later and you're barely alive, you got to give them sips of water.
Oh, yeah, you
it's
can't.
The opposite. They can't just chug raw water either. You'll send them in the shock.
Yes, you have to do it slowly.
Slowly, like little baby sips.
Yeah.
Rehydrate them. So it's crazy.
Even something as simple as water is bad for you if consumed incorrectly.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy?
So it doesn't mean, I think that, you know, it's good just to not vilify things necessarily. Nah. Unless specifically for you, you have a condition. Maybe you're diabetic and your body, your pancreatic system and your insulin system aren't working properly and you need intermedical intervention. You need to really pay attention to what certain things that you consume, certain micronutrients, sugar. Then that's specific to the person with that condition. It doesn't mean that everybody is in that, you know, someone can consume a moderate amount of sugar and be fine for their whole lives. It's when they overconsume sugar that they can make themselves type 2 diabetic.
Yep.
That's not genetic. That's, you can literally through diet give yourself diabetes.
Yep.
By overdoing the sugar. But if you don't overdo it, so just because Jane Doe can't control her sugar intake, it doesn't mean that I should not eat any sugar because it might give me diabetes. Because guess what? I can control my sugar intake.
That's all that matters.
Right?
Yep.
So it's, that's what I mean. Like, it's not like, it's not, don't take everything at surface value.
People do.
It doesn't mean that it's bad for you. It's bad for Jane. You know, it might be bad for your neighbor, but it doesn't, not bad for you because you're able to control your volume. You don't have any, you know, pre-existing conditions or any medical conditions that are holding you back. So therefore, it's not an issue for you. Like, there's some people who can't do the keto diet because their body does not digest fats very well. Or they have issues with their gallbladder. Like, they have gallstones or issues with their gallbladder. High-fat foods can aggravate that. There are certain people that just don't do well with the keto diet. But there are certain people that cannot eat carbohydrates. They don't do well with carbohydrates. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. It doesn't mean that keto's bad. It doesn't mean that high carb diets are bad. It just depends on what's right for you. If you're the lucky one that doesn't have any conditions or medical situations or whatever, then choose what you enjoy the most. Choose the diet that you enjoy.
Yep. Exactly. I choose flexible.
Of course you do. You look like you're falling asleep.
I'm a little tired. I trained. Coffee. I know, but I worked out hard today and
so did I. Woken up. Boo-hoo. What do you mean? Why did you give that look right now? I didn't work out hard today.
I didn't say you didn't.
What, you gave me like a crooked eye right now.
I'm saying I worked out hard today.
But then you, when I said I did too.
I'm sure you did.
I did. I walked this morning. I worked out. I had shoulders and triceps with Alyssa. I did 15 minutes on the bike. And then I did 30 minutes on that machine at 3.8 miles per hour.
Sounds like some good work.
Why are you giving me that crooked eye?
No reason. I'm just saying I worked hard today too.
Well, I know, but I'm not falling asleep.
I beat the bag up when you trained.
Well, we will let you go so you can go take a little nap, put the pillow on your chest, and knock out for another 15-minute recharge.
15-minute recharge. And next time we'll be doing the morning, we'll have more energy.
Yeah, we got to get Mike back to mornings because I'm losing my co-host over here.
I'm tired.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Candidly with Coffee. Be sure to subscribe for more candid advice from your host, Janine Escobar. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.